Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome to Sports Day. Nice to have your company. Carl Langdon, Mark Redding's with you for the next couple of hours. 1-3-8-82. Jack Redden to join us shortly. And we'll also have a chat to Grant Hackett tonight in advance of the 2022 Australian Swimming Championships as the athletes try to live out their dreams of competing at the Commonwealth Games and at the World Championships. Jason Berendorf will join us from India tonight. The Royal Challengers Bangalore is who he is participating with. Not sure he's played much cricket, but we'll find out why a little bit later on. And we'll do what we normally do here on the program, as well as find out a little bit about, from Scotty Baker, what the future looks like for matches being played in the WAFL after the West Coast Eagles were essentially not forced, but under the rules made, play a couple of Sharks players. That was the team they were playing against on the weekend. Mark Reddings is with me. Welcome, Skeet.
Hello, Carl. Great to be with you and to our listeners. 1-3-3-8-82. Some breaking news from the AFL Tribunal. I can tell you the match review officer, 2-0, because both Sydney's James Rowbottom and Richmond's Marlon Pickett have failed to have their one-match bans overturned at the AFL Tribunal tonight. Rowbottom and Pickett were both looking to overturn bans for rough conduct in both cases that were put before the AFL Tribunal, instances that were graded as careless conduct with medium impact and high contact. So it's going to be Rowbottom's sideline for Friday night football against Carlton, and for Pickett, he's going to miss the Dreamtime game. So a bit happening in football, of course. James Sicily extending 5 years, a contract. Is that too long for a footballer in the modern era? 5 years of a quality player, but 5 years for him, which basically sees him out as a hawk, you would have thought. Liam Ryan and Jake Chandler, speaking of suspensions, have both accepted their 1- and 2-match bans, respectively, from the weekend's game between the Eagles and Melbourne at Optus Stadium.
Skeet. Look, I don't like 5-year deals because I had one and only lasted 2 years of it. So
good for you, though.
First hand experience. Well, yeah, okay for me, but at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's about your club and what's best for your club. And it wasn't necessarily what's best for the club. I was able to do the right thing and retire before the preseason draft so that Andrew Donnelly was able to be recruited to fill in the hole, which, you know, can essentially happen in the case of Sicily, but you're talking about a player who's already 27. And at 27, 28 is when things start to go awry. We only have to use, say, Elliot Yeo as an example. All of a sudden, the body just starts to get a few tweaks, a few bits and pieces. Now, look, it's Hawthorn's call, but I wouldn't have done, at 27 years of age, a 5-year deal with James Sicily. There's no way in the world. I think that's an irresponsible list management decision that's been made today. You might disagree with me. 1-3-3-8-82. I mean, when you've got a Charlie Spargo who signs a 3-year contract extension already, did he play? He played in the Premiership, I'm pretty
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely. He's played a heap of winning matches consecutively.
Yeah, so, and he's only a young player. He gets 3 years. And Archie Perkins, who I like at Essendon, he's signed a new 2-year extension today. I think that's more realistic. 2 to 3 years keeps you hungry, particularly at the age of 27, back to the Sicily point. It keeps you hungry. It makes sure you work hard. It doesn't let you or allow you to move in that comfort zone. Now, look, I don't care if there's better issues that come from somewhere else. In the end, we've got the football business, which is far greater now than I think that I reckon even the fans wouldn't probably like the football businesses that has now evolved from just going along supporting a club and what we all used to probably like it to be a lot of years ago, but it is now a massive business. They're full-time players. But, yeah, I reckon that decision is one that's a little bit over the top.
Yeah, I said exactly that at the top. It was a surprising move from my behalf, but I guess free agency does flush out these types of deals from a player's perspective and maybe from a club as well. So James Sicily there, the long term. Another interesting story or act on the weekend, Carl, I'd be interested to get your feedback and our listeners on 1-3-3-8-82. And most of us who love our footy would have seen the vision of Luke Parker from Sydney taunting or certainly instigating a cowardly pose towards Dylan Scheel of Essendon at the weekend. So, look, in American football, that would bring a penalty against the Sydney Swans player. But there's been all sorts of views as to whether, A, that was appropriate, Luke Parker's act, and B, whether in fact the Bombers should have reacted with some sort of physicality on that front. Now, that is where we're at the moment. And where this sits, Carl, you've been out there, you know what it's like to, I know, maybe share a word or two, or even go through the theatrics of footy. What did you make of it?
Mate, is that there is? I reckon I've started to get the feeling there's actually too many people with nothing to do that work in the media. Because seriously, like, to actually see what Caroline Wilson, who dug up this last night around Lukey Parker doing a little bit of a jibe at Dylan Scheel for Essendon, sort of talking about him doing a little bit of a turtle duck in his head, which I see blokes doing all the time, and I'll call them out too in the commentary. As you know, I will sit there, and if I see a bloke ducking his head, or if I see a bloke pulling out of the contest, or if I see a bloke who's taking the easy way out and not taking or doing what I would want to see done as a coach, if I was a coach, just the little things count. So those little things that then you cheat on from a team rules perspective, which I would be sure that Luke Parker was only indicating to Dylan Scheel at that particular time that he was taking the easy road out.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. I mean, a bit of gamesmanship. I mean,
but let me ask you this, Carl. In terms of, given you use the term pulling out of a contest, and we know that our game is demanding of courage, of bravado, but given the concussion protocols, given what can happen if you make head-high contact, are players now being forced to, or certainly being more reluctant to throw themselves haphazardly with their bodies at the footy and the man because of the possibility of what might come off the back of that? Now, I'd hate for players to be accused of being lacking courage and being cowards because they haven't stood under the footy. You said do the turtle, all that sort of stuff. I mean, is that now players are concerned, and this is not going to the Dylan Scheel territory, but in general about how they attack the footy and the man, because they tend to now have very little room for error.
Yeah, there's no room for error. And look, I'm not saying that they should go out there and run through people like Matthew Lloyd has suggested on the back of this scenario. To Dyson Heppel's response, he came out and said, look, we need to play the footy. That's what we're there to do. Otherwise, we will get the book thrown at us. But at the end of the day, if you want to set an example for others to follow, and if you want to stand up and protect your mate, then sometimes you have to be prepared to give away, like I was, your pocket money. Mm. So you actually play games for free. You actually play games for free.
Hey, just quickly, Carl.
I did that. I know. Did that quite a few times.
I know.
And just played games for free.
And we're talking about the Luke Parker incident. We're about to go to Peter and Shelley, but I do recall an incident. I'm sure you do as well. It was at Waverley Park. It was the Eagles versus Richmond, and a very similar incident took place. Well, not similar. There was theatrics involved. A bloke that used to be your teammate at West Coast, of course, originally from Richmond, but Peter Wilson did the chicken wing to you. I'm sure it was you on the wing out at Waverley going back many moons ago.
Yep, that's exactly right. And I paid the price for that. You know, that's what you don't do. There are moments that you reflect back and say, well, I could have done better in that situation.
What did you do?
I could have been more of a...
What didn't you do?
Well, the ball came in, and all I could hear was all this shouting and all this sort of stuff behind me, and I'm coming for you, sort of thing. And I ducked my head a bit, you know. I did my own turtle. So then he started flapping his wings like a chicken, and then we got a razor sent to us from Gillette, from one of the rounds, one of the moments of the round. So that's why that has always been talked about. But yeah, that's, and I'll accept it. I'll take it, and I don't know that it happened too often. There might be some times that people might like to recall. I'm happy to take it on board. 133-882. Let's head to Pete and Shelley. G'day, Pete.
Yeah, g'day, guys. With James Sicily, look, I'm sort of with both of you at the moment. I wouldn't sign him for that long. I think the Hawks are thinking, who's the next captain? Obviously, McAvoy is probably gone at the end of this year with Ned Reeves coming through and all that sort of stuff. Sicily's on all Australian form. He's 27.
Mm.
Will he be in Hawthorn's next premiership? Obviously not this year, probably not next year or even the year after, but he's still the way the Hawks are developing, is probably close at 30 years of age or 31. I think that's where they're going. So more captaincy, leadership, and the future. If he left, how do the rest of the Hawks, the young guys, Gius, Scrimshaw, all those sorts that are coming through, I think they need a leader for the future, and I think that's what they're thinking. He's the next captain. Signing up.
Pete, could he still be the next captain for 3 years if they sign him up now as a 27-year-old, gave him the captaincy until he was 30?
I think that it's a good question, Carl. I think it's how the Hawks develop. You've got Lewis and Kaczynski and Moore and all those young guys. If they see a future behind their captain, I think, he could be at 30. You've had captains, Hodge and those sort of guys. I keep talking about the Hawks, I'm sorry. But, you could have a captain at 30, 31, 32. Who was the youngest captain to continue? Michael Voss? I don't know how old he was when Brisbane were, rolling through their reign. I don't know. The Sicily seems the best option for Hawthorn at the moment. I think that's why they've done it.
Yeah, well, he's 27, as you said, Pete. Look, his form, and that's why he's got this extension, apart from the fact he's a very good player and potential leader. 23 disposals a game, 9 marks, 7.8 rebound 50s per contest this year. So he's the quality of the side down back. And perhaps, 5 years might be a stretch, but as I said, the market demands that free agency and clubs at times are put under the pump to keep players, and that may have been what's happened here.
All right, so thanks for your call, 133-882. Just some of the other news headlines, Australia's number one selling side-by-side brand Polaris. We have some players that have been granted an exemption into the NAB AFL mid-season rookie draft, and they include a couple of West Australians, Wade Dirksen from Peel Thunder, Zach Strom from South Fremantle Skeet, and Jake Florenka from South Fremantle. So those three players all of a sudden get a chance to be picked.
Terrific news. Florenka, we've seen briefly at AFL level, played state footy last weekend. Strom, we know that he's pretty versatile, can play forward, can play wing, can even go on the ruck. So there's a couple of examples of players that would be not out of place, I don't think, in the back half of this year at AFL level at a club that has a need.
All right. Just the other news headlines. Thanks to Polaris, they've got shiploads of vehicles arriving every month. Visit your local Polaris dealer today. Majok, who played all 28 games for 2021-22, has signed a new contract. Jack Purchase is allowed to explore free agency, and the option of retaining their rookie, Ollie Hayes Brown, has been taken. So he will remain a development player after his 8 games in 2022. And in the other news, we've got some French qualifying action happening tonight. Lizette Cabrera, Elise Perrin will hit the court tonight. Back soon here on Sports Day, and we'll have a chat to Jack Redden next.
Sports Day for Kia, the all-electric Kia EV6, Wheels Car of the Year, and Toolkit Depot, the ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. 133-882 is our number if you'd like to join us on the open line, 0487-999-882 via the text. And let's get inside our West Coast Eagles. Time to dig deep on Sports Day with Digger West and Jack Redden, who we did speak to after the game on Sunday, reaching a wonderful milestone. 250-game milestone is nothing to be sneezed at. Jack, nice to chat again, mate, and congratulations, by the way. A sensational effort, mate. I know it's spread across two clubs, 7 years that you spent up there at the Brizzy Lions, but getting a premiership and what you play for in this game is a bloody hard thing to do.
It is, mate. Yeah, thanks, Carl. Obviously didn't get the win on the weekend, which we're chasing every week. But, it was a special week to do with the fam. And now I've actually reached it. Looking back, special to reflect on in the future. And, it's a good weekend.
Yeah, hopefully you get some players back for this weekend's match against the Giants, Jack. It's early in the week, of course. But some talk that Andrew Gaff, Shannon Hearn, not far away, and Luke Shuey in the mix as well. You just need some experience, you need some talent, you need some bodies.
We do, yes. It's good those boys are getting close. I dare say they'll be in the mix. Got a main training on Thursday, so if they get through that, it'll be great to have their experience back in the lineup. And We need them at the moment, so I'll be looking forward to seeing how they go on Thursday.
Jack, tell us, you've been at the club when they've had the highs of 218 and in contention, as opposed to now where it's, I suppose, in many ways, a fight for survival. How do you turn up for work each day with the same level of enthusiasm as when you are, when you know you're a chance to go deep in September?
Yeah, it's been frustrating for the club, mate. We've obviously had a few little setbacks, whether it be injury, COVID, all the stuff that's sort of unfolded this year. So it is frustrating, but I think internally the last few weeks have been really positive around the club. And the reality is, we're sitting on the bottom of the ladder and we need to grow and we need to improve each week. So we've got to front up with a good attitude every week and every session. So boys actually been working really hard, which is good. And we're having some small wins throughout the week, but unable to get the score on the board to get the W at the moment. But we're putting things in place and hopefully we can grow on them and we get some better results in the end of the year.
Now you missed the round two clash against North Melbourne when we saw some unprecedented scenes. I think there were 14 changes from the week before, which is an AFL record. I don't know whether you got COVID that week, but how have the boys been generally afterwards, mate? I mean, because we hear varying levels of, you know, tiredness and fatigue and all of these elements that are associated with the virus. Do you think that that's still having a part, given that you've had different players go down week in, week out, pretty much still up until the moment?
It's a hard one to get a read on it. I think going off GPS numbers, that's probably the only data you can really go off. But I think typically they have been a little bit lower, or the sprint number's been a bit lower, but individually it's so different, so it's hard to get a read on it. But personally, my symptoms weren't too much, but I just felt really lethargic for a few weeks. You're just not quite as sharp in the head, but it's depending on when you get it. If you get it on a Thursday and then you miss that week and you go straight into a game that following week, it can be worse. But if you can flush it out with a full week of training, maybe that helps, I'm not sure. But personally, I just felt really lethargic for a couple of weeks and probably wasn't as sharp in the head and wasn't with it as much.
Given your seniority, because let's face it, you were one of the most senior players that played on the weekend, and I know that you want to help guide because that's just the sort of character that you are. What do you think that you can do between now and the end of the season to make a difference, or what are you doing now to try and make a difference?
I think we've all acknowledged we need to up our standards around the club, and we need to put a lot more time and emphasis in our craft and what we do each week. So we're just the stuff you can do without too much load through the legs, whether it be just working on your craft, doing a lot of ball in hand sort of stuff, game knowledge stuff with the reviewing and watching videotapes and that sort of stuff. That stuff that's not too taxing, you can get away with during the season. So we've sort of ramped that sort of stuff up, and we're working really hard as a group, and some of the older boys and more experienced boys are trying to teach throughout the week along with the coaches. So we're putting things in place to hopefully get some good results for the back end of the year. And we probably will get some really handy additions over the back end of the year as well. So if we can get games into those sort of boys, keep doing what we're doing throughout the week, hopefully get the results come back end of the year.
Hey, Jack, when it comes to the skill errors that have been made, the turnovers, the clangers, how much time after the match do you review those types of moments in a game? Or is it a case that you know on the day and you don't have to necessarily be tortured by going through each and every one again?
Yeah. When the boys and when you myself make those sort of fundamental mistakes, you know you've done it and you know they're probably coming up. But there's no point dwelling on those things. It's repetition. It's ball in hand. It's executing them within sessions, under pressure. So that's experience, and the boys have just got to put themselves in situations where it is game-like pressure, and they've just got to execute more consistently.
Jack, is there a guy at the club that lightens the mood, be it a coach, be it a player, that, you know, it can be quite all-encompassing with the pressure and the scrutiny and the results that have been coming your way, but have you able to have a laugh and enjoy each other's company?
Yeah, we have, and that's important. You sit there with the sad face on every day, and every session it gets hard, and the pressure comes on. So there's a lot of boys around the club that are good for a laugh. Jakey Waterman's good at taking the piss out of himself. He's always a good laugh. Matty Knights, our coach, new coach, always sees a brighter side of life. So
they are refreshing, those sort of blokes around the club during tough times. So it's important we enjoy what we're doing every week and trying to get better, but you've got to be enjoying it at the same time.
Thanks very much for joining us tonight here on Sports Day, mate. Take care and good luck this weekend.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Good on you, Jack Redden. 250 games under his belt. Digging deep in what all great sports people do, just like the team at Digger West, the earth-moving attachment specialists. And right now, Skeet, there's no reason why he couldn't be leading West Coast fairest and best. To be perfectly honest, he's been one of their most consistent players, always gets his hands dirty, and probably other than the game against Port Adelaide, has pretty much been amongst the Eagles' best players in every game that he's played.
It's a good question you pose, actually, when you said that, Carl. The Eagles, what, the John Worsfold medal. If you're to try and put down a list of players and who'd be leading it, it would take some work. And that's being honest as to who's been out there, for starters, and who's been a regular contributor. And there are very few players on the list that can tick both boxes. So he's one of those guys that when he's out there, you know that there's 100% effort. But, yeah, that's the fascinating element of this season so far, trying to find the players that have been out there for some minutes and the other ones that have actually been able to find some of the footy.
Yeah, well, initially Patrick Naish was going to not be playing, and then we had a late withdrawal at West Coast last week, so all of a sudden he got to play. So he is at the moment, Patrick Naish, the only player on the whole of the West Coast Eagles list that has played every single game this season, which is quite incredible, really, isn't it? Dial before you dig, the first essential step. If you want to have a dig at West Coast, or if you want to have a dig at anything else, you can do that straight after the break, or if something's hot for you, thanks to the Dardanelle Butchering Company's Taste of Dardanelle Valley Spring Lamb. You can call through next, 133882 or 0487 999 882 on the text. Back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Now, if you've just joined us here on Sports Day, just updating some sport thanks to Century 21, selling or renting century21.com.au. I can tell you that Lizette Cabrera has won the first set 6-3 against Emily Dartron. So a good start there for the Aussie. So hopefully going to join a number of her fellow countrywomen into the next round there. James Sicily, 5 years at the Hawks, 3 years for Charlie Spargo at Melbourne, 2 years for Archie Perkins, some big injuries, and we'll update this more comprehensively out of 7 o'clock. Jack Gunston, Zach Williams, Jack Steele, and Jack Madgen have all been listed as fairly lengthy injury spells on the sidelines. Skate?
Absolutely, and there's an A-League semi-final in play as we speak. Leg one of two between Western United and Melbourne Victory. I can tell you, Melbourne Victory have the advantage 75 minutes in. They lead 1-0 over Western United. So the first of two legs, Victory have a slight advantage as we enter the last 15 minutes of that first leg.
All right, if you want to have a dig at something, thanks to Dial Before You Dig. Don't dig yourself into a whole lodge of free Dial Before You Dig inquiry. Let's go to the phones. Mike in Double View first. G'day, Mike.
G'day, Carl. Look, I want to make a point about midfielders and forwards. So, obviously, you know, the Eagles aren't getting it in their forward line very often. You know, we're not getting many goals. But we've got a problem with the ball coming out when it does go in. And you were talking about this the other day, and I think it's a real problem where, you know, back in 92, there was a guy that used to play in the forward line, used to scrag and tackle and hold up the defence as they were coming out of the defence. So it was you, Carl. And these days, the Eagles really struggle trying to keep the ball in the forward line. That's the first point I'd make. The second one is about midfielders scoring goals for the Eagles. So I think we've got a real problem there, because in the heyday, you know, when Judd and Kerr and Embley and people like that were kicking goals, then there were a lot of potential goal scorers. Now, we're struggling for midfielders to kick goals. And there's a bloke called Kelly who we recruited, and when he was at Geelong, he was kicking lots of goals. But he's come to the Eagles, and he's not kicking many goals at all. Now, is there something in the game plan which leads our midfielders maybe more to defending rather than attacking?
Well, look, just on Kelly's kicked one goal. Patrick Naish has kicked one goal. If you go through Xavier O'Neill, who's been mainly playing in the midfield, kicked one goal. And you know, like you've got Declan Mountford who's kicked one goal. Now he played
Aaron Black.
One game coming out of the and Aaron Black. So Skeet, you're right. Look, when you look at West Coast, 14 goals for Kennedy, 11 to Ryan, 8 to Darling, 8 to Rioli, 3 to Waterman, 3 to Williams, who's been ruck forward. Petrocelli, 3, not in the side at the moment. Jamie Cripps, since he has come into the side, has kicked 3 goals. Zach Langdon, who's out of the side, has kicked 2. And Jermaine Jones, who got an opportunity on the weekend, predominantly playing up through the midfield, played 6 games, kicked 2 goals. You're absolutely right, Mike. It is a massive problem. I mean, you only have to look at the Western Bulldogs the other night. They had 6 goals kicked by Treloar and Dunkley. They're two of their highest possession winning midfielders. And then you've got Bontempelli, who you can throw into that mix, who played his first game back after having a week off. It is a big area of concern. Their work in their forward line by their smaller forwards is not good enough. They're lazy, some of them, or they look lazy, Mike, or they look fatigued. Maybe it's COVID, and that's why I asked the question of Jack Redden to talk about his own personal experience. He said that he's felt fatigued for a number of weeks. Now, he said you can use the GPS as an example. So, you know, I am prepared to give them some rope. There's no doubt that they need to have some rope, Skeet, because compared to all of the other Victorian and, say, East Coast clubs in Sydney and Queensland, they got through this COVID for most of their players a long time ago.
Yeah, pre-season was when they were affected. You think of the Sydney Swans and that batch of players that went through it, I think out in a boat having a Christmas celebration. We're talking May, and a lot of players are still being grounded here in WA. But that being said, you can only go on the results, and there are no excuses, as they say, in this game. But round one against the Gold Coast, the Eagles kicked 12 goals. Round four against Collingwood, 14. Now, of course, the Collingwood game was the only match that they won. But they're the best hauls for the club this year in terms of goal kicking and the numbers. In the past 4 weeks, forget about the midfielders struggling to hit goals. They've kicked just 21 in the past 4 weeks. So it's the forwards, it's the midfield, it's a lack of inside 50. So, look, the midfielders aren't kicking a lot of goals because the ball ain't going inside 50 many more times than 30, 35 times a match. So it's absolutely a good point by Mike, but that's one of a myriad of issues that I'm sure Adam Simpson and his coaching staff are trying to get a handle on.
What's hot for you? 133-882. Thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company's taste of Dardanup Valley Spring Lamb as we head to Dylan in West Perth. G'day, Dylan.
Oh, hi, guys. How are you going?
Good.
I was going to say something similar to him about the midfielders scoring pressure, so I might just leave that one. But what I will say is I was driving around today with me mates and this isn't exactly football related, but the placards. The placards for the election are getting so annoying, and who cleans them up? Who cleans them up? And the other thing is, I'm seeing people just advertise now. But I saw a podcast, someone called Full Credit or something, and it was advertising everywhere. I just think it's a bit ridiculous, guys. I love the show, and I didn't want to double step on the guy before, but I think it's a worth saying at least.
Dylan, I agree, and I've got to say this: the political ads are what they are. In fact, there's the ban. I think starts at about midnight on Wednesday, from memory or thereabouts. But I've got to say, neither Liberal or Labor giving you any opinion here, but there's a hole in my bucket, dear Labor, dear Labor. That ad, if I hear that one more time, I'm going to spew, as Terry Wallace would say, Carl.
Yeah, fair enough, Skeet. Let's go to Jason in Cunnanoppin. G'day, Jace.
Yeah, g'day, Carl and Redders.
Hello, mate.
Yeah, well, I think the Eagles need to retire a few players. They need...
Who?
They Josh Kennedy's doing well, but I reckon they need to get trade Darling out for picks.
Yep.
And
who else?
I would keep Shuey there and trade a few other players.
Well, don't just trade a few other players. Who? So you got Darling and Shuey. Who else? Who are the others?
Shannon Hearn retiring.
Yeah, Shannon Hearn to retire. But he's doing good down back at the moment, so I would have him for another year. But a lot of players are in the 30s and that, and you've got to go for youth. and right.
Yeah, well, I think that you do need to go to for youth, but I mean the situation that the West Coast Eagles have got at the moment is that there's a lot of those younger players that are getting an opportunity, which got an opportunity on the weekend, and they got totally outclassed by a Melbourne side that is for the majority very, very young, and a lot younger than what West Coast were. So, you know, when you look at players like Petrescu, Seaton and Waterman and Winder and Witherden and Foley and Jones and Williams and Rotham and West and Clark and Jamison and Dixon and Edwards and Naish, that's essentially where the West Coast Eagles are at. Now, that was almost three quarters of their team. They had 17 players that were 26 years and younger. Now, you can get rid of Hearn and Kennedy, who, you know, for Shannon Hearn and what he's done so far this season, I reckon he's been one of the best players in the comp. In the games that he's played up to this point in the season. We're talking about, you know, when I raised the issue, Skeet, off the top of the show about West Coast Eagles' fairest and best, I mean, Shannon Hearn's not been that far away.
Yeah, which is not an indictment on the team, but because he's such a superstar of the club and been such a wonderful servant, but you really want players coming through that 25 to 27 or 23 to 25 bracket who are coming out and Shannon Hearn not having to play that role that he is. But that's the way it is at the moment. Back to the phones, Carl.
No, we need to go to a break.
Okay.
We'll be back in a moment.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
And plenty of calls coming in. Everyone's joining in on 133-882. Thanks to the Dardanut Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb, available at WA's best restaurants, hotels and cafes. To Michael in Churchlands. G'day, Mike.
Hey, boys. How you going? Long time.
We're good.
Very sweet. I just wanted to call to say I was quite very disappointed watching the Dockers go down to the Gold Coast on last Sunday, and they looked a far shadow of the team that we've seen in the last 6 weeks. And I was thinking, what changes do you think they'll need to make to get against Collingwood? And I'm sure JL, I've no doubt JL is going to wield the axe.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that, Michael. Look, I think it's pretty hard to win a lot of consecutive matches in the AFL. That's a given. They won six in a row heading up to the Gold Coast. Look, Carl did make the point, and I don't discount it either, that some of those players who'd been in COVID protocols may not have been running on top of the ground. But they looked like they had the concrete boots on, to be honest, on the weekend. So it's, I think we're allowed to give them at least one reprieve when it comes to performances like that. Sam Switkowski should come back into the side along with Michael Walters, you suspect, after those COVID and concussion protocols. I'm not sure Matt Taberner's right just yet. He might be a wait and see. But look, I think they'll make minimal changes and just ask for a better effort, because what we saw wasn't very much like what we've been accustomed to from the Dockers this season.
Absolutely. And I 100% agree. I reckon there's going to be a little bit of time to see whether they actually get back to what they were delivering a couple of weeks ago, given what's transpired in the last couple of weeks at Freo, as we head to Steve in Bunbury. G'day, Steve.
Yeah, how you going, boys? Look, there's a couple, just two things I want to just touch on. One of them is our list management, and also just the effort of the players, the culture of the club at the moment. A lot of people are saying we went all in trying to win another premiership, which we did, and we probably made a few bad decisions. One of them, people are saying, is the Kelly decision. I actually don't think it was a problem recruiting Kelly. I think the problem was that we didn't take him the year before for half the price and went for two first-rounders the next year. That really cost us. And then with our current players and the effort and, you know, I think someone just made a comment that, you know, on game day, once you're out there, there's no excuses in this business. But, you know, when you've got 23 players that aren't able to play, we had a record against North Melbourne. I think it's 14 changes. I think there's good excuses why we're not going as well as we could. I think, you know, by the end of the year, when we get our players back, get a bit of rhythm happening, and then see how they play then we can make some decisions. But I think it's really hard to judge our team right now with all the people that are coming out. And don't get me started on the Bronx cheers for Jack Darling. He's been a champion of our club, and I think it's just a disgrace.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, look, this is a year that the Eagles haven't had to experience before on so many fronts. So I think he makes some really valid points. What I would say is that I think since 2018, now I might be completely wrong, but just get the feeling that their performances have tailed a fraction year by year. Now, whether that's because they've been to the top of the mountain, Carl, they've been to the buffet, they've tasted the success that they were craving, do you still have that same desire? Is it a case of maybe some players just have had that premiership medallion and think, don't need to probably go as hard as I used to? I don't know.
Well, in 2019, they were 15-7. They finished fifth on the table.
You look at their trajectory on the ladders since 2018, and it has been tailing away. But that's whether that's performance.
Well, in 2020, COVID year, 17 games, they were 12-5. They were fifth on the table. So it was only really last year where they were 10-12
and fell away.
Right. So we're not talking like years and years and years of erosion, which, I know everything's fallen a massive hole. But at the same time, on the back of what Steve just said around, the treatment of Jack Darling has been disgraceful. The way that they are treating him reminds me of Fraser Gehrig when they chased him out of town. And if I was Jack Darling and, I'd be sitting back saying, well, I know I'm not playing my best right now. He's a guy who, was at pains to have, for whatever reason, the vaccination in the first place. And I know there was a lot of family pressure there. He eventually gets it done because he has to keep his job.
But he was a whipping boy before. Forced. He was a whipping boy before the vaccination crisis.
Yeah, and he's still the whipping boy now. Like, there's no doubt that on the weekend, even though there was only 27,000 people there, he's still the whipping boy, and he's been the whipping boy ever since he stepped foot back onto the field after making the decision to have the vaccination. I feel sorry for him. I really do. I know that, he was in a tough situation like a lot of people have been through the COVID scenario, but it's something that there's no doubt hasn't got any easier for him individually. Skeet, we need to get to a commitment. You know that we've got to do that. Thanks to the Dardanup Butchering Company's Valley Spring Lamb, available at WA's best restaurants, hotels and cafes. We'll be back soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Well, I can tell you that Lizette Cabrera is into the next round of qualifying. 6-3, 6-1 victory over Eleni Dartron. So a good victory there by the Australian. We only have one other competitor, and that is Ellen Perez, to hit the court tonight on the women's side of the draw in qualifying there at the French Tennis Open. So looking forward to that. We are going to, after the news, have a chat to Scotty Baker, because we saw a unique scenario on the weekend where the West Coast Eagles couldn't field a side. They had to utilise, for league football, a couple of East Fremantle players. Didn't sit well with a couple of people. Dr. Neil Fong at West Perth didn't really sit that well with me. We'll find out exactly why that transpired and what the rules are next with Scott Baker here on Sports Day. Grant Hackett is going to join us to preview the Australian Swimming Championships, which are going to start in Adelaide tomorrow. And we'll also have a chat to Jason Berendorf, who is involved in the IPL over there in India. So that's coming away after the news. It's coming up next here on 882 6PR.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Nice to kick off this hour. Thanks to the Toolkit Depot, your ultimate tax time destination, with Scotty Baker from the West Australian Football Commission as he joins us here on Sports Day. Scotty, welcome. How are you going, mate?
Yeah, going well, boys. How are you?
Yeah, going all right. Look, I've got a couple of questions I wanted to throw at you at the top of the hour around what happened with West Coast and East Fremantle. Now, look, I know that West Coast, under the agreement to field a side, were able to field three of their own players in Hoff, Bazo and True, but they obviously weren't able to get a side together, and they were pretty much forced, I believe, to play a couple of players from the opposition. At this level, it's not really a good look, in my view, Scotty. How did this come about?
Yeah, it's not ideal, and not something that happens all the time, particularly on game day. I mean, clubs loan players to different clubs all the time. So what happened is, obviously, they had those three players that you mentioned from an AFL point of view. And then from a Waffle point of view, the night before the game, we were all good. And then on the day of the game, they woke up and Logan Young had an ankle, I believe. And then there was another one of their waffle guys had COVID, woke up with COVID. So basically once that happened, that got them, they didn't have enough players. So we had to make a decision around, you know, we could have postponed the game again, but, you know, West Coast are there. To their credit, they didn't want to postpone again and put each Freo out again. So the two football managers, Neil Ross and Brad Dodd, got together and come up with a couple of players that were willing to play on transfer for the day. So so in the end, like you see, it's not ideal and not something we'd like to make a habit of, but it allowed us to get the game away and sort of move forward. But yeah, like I said, not ideal and not something that happens all the time, and hopefully it's a one-off.
Wouldn't it be better for the competition, though? I know, look, Dr. Neil Fong's had his thoughts on it from West Perth, and he's questioned the integrity. Would it not be better just to forfeit and East Fremantle just take the 4 points like happens at other levels of footy when you can't field a side?
Yeah, potentially. But that wasn't you know, what we decided at the start of the year. We sort of put the rules in place at the start of the year and we just sort of followed them through. Which resulted in the game going ahead. So yeah, it's right on the tipping point. You know, it's, you know, the three players and like I said, they only just had enough 22 the night before the game, and then waking up on game day, there are a couple of less. So yeah, having to postpone or cancel the game is not something that we wanted to do. And under the rules, the rules allowed us to play the game based on that scenario. So yeah, we pushed ahead.
You mentioned hopefully just a one off, but there's been a bit of talk around Clubland this week that the West Perth West Coast match might fall under the same position. Are you confident that West Coast will be able to field a side come this weekend?
Yeah, they'll be fine this weekend in the Waffle. We believe they'll definitely have over the three, and they've got close to 20 Waffle listed players available at the moment. So it's only Tuesday, obviously, but yeah, speaking to them today, they're very, very confident, very optimistic that this weekend won't be an issue at all, and hopefully we sort of get that number up a little bit higher, which, you know, we all know once that number gets a little bit higher, they're going to be way more competitive. So, yeah, early indications are that game will definitely go ahead this weekend.
Scotty, when would it not go ahead? When would the number be too high under your rules? And what does the rule actually say when it comes to this sort of scenario?
Yeah, so basically, from a West Coast and Peel point of view, they need to have a total of 18 listed AFL and Waffle contracted players, and then and three of those 18 need to be AFL, and then from there we would force them to find another outside of their list to get the game away. So, you know, ideally, you know, last time against East Freo, I think it was Wednesday, they let us know. Like, you'd love to know earlier in the week, but, you know, as the week unfolds, different things happen. So we'd give them right up until sort of late Friday and Saturday morning if we had to try and get the game away. But we understand that comes with challenges from a home team point of view and running game day and functions and gates and stuff like that. So hopefully, fingers crossed, you know, we get this weekend's game away and West Coast are on a bit of a, you know, upward trajectory in terms of player availability, and we don't have to sort of deal with it again. But yeah, we'll give it right up until as far as we needed to get the games away, because we're committed to playing all the games this year.
And obviously, I can understand the issues that delaying games and postponing games causes for the competition. So is this something that you might have to revisit, Scotty? Because, I mean, essentially, it might not just be West Coast, given that we are forecast to hit 25,000 daily infections in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, and it's exactly why we've delayed the fixture. You know, a lot of the clubs are getting a little bit restless around us not announcing the back end of the fixture, but the reason why we haven't done that is for this exact scenario. So we were lucky on the weekend that the state game fell when it fell. So we got that game away from a West Coast and East Fremantle point of view. And then we've got two general buys in our sort of draft fixture for the back end of the year. So as those weekends get closer, we'll have a decision to make around, yeah, we might have to play a couple of postponed games there, or we can look to split those rounds to make sure there's no sort of free weekends of Waffle. And we're also potentially looking to play the Waffle W Grand Final as a standalone fixture on the round 11 sort of bye weekend in early July. So we're sort of holding onto that fixture a little bit longer to see, like you said, to see how the next couple of weeks go from a COVID point of view. And if there's any other postponements, we'd like to try and slot them in on those bye weekends to ensure we get all the games away and we don't have to sort of, yeah, cancel one or split the points or something like that. We're really trying to avoid that as best we can, particularly at league level.
Chatting to Scott Baker from the WA Football Commission. To the state game, very competitive. Good game, in fact, but the knock on the match itself and the day itself was Optus Stadium. Hardly anyone there, and I guess the atmosphere was lacking. Is it the right place for it? The players seem to like it, but in terms of a crowd and catering to your Waffle faithful?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Like, up until this year, I haven't really heard too much. You know, the last time we played at a local ground, I think it was back in 2016 or 2017 or something like that, and the crowd was really poor. So since then, we've sort of prioritised a player experience and getting into AFL venues. The players absolutely love it. It doesn't mean it's forever. And I think on the weekend, going back, you know, last year, before the Port Bulldogs game at Adelaide Oval, there was over 15,000 people there for the whole last quarter at Adelaide Oval. And in 2019, we had over 10,000 for the last quarter. As you guys know, on the weekend, there were some challenges around the trains and accessing the ground. And then to have a final crowd of 27,000, you know, that's a pretty low crowd from a West Coast point of view. So I think if you didn't have the issues with the trains, and if you didn't have the issues with the overall crowd number, and there was closer to 50, then I think you'd find that last quarter there'd be a great atmosphere, which we've had in the prior years at AFL venues. So I think this weekend was a bit of an anomaly, but it's something we'll continue to review going forward. But yeah, like you said, the players absolutely love it, and you know, it's the home of the Waffle Grand Final, so it's a good experience for all involved. But we do acknowledge that it's, you know, not ideal for the traditional Waffle people that might not want to pay the money to go along to a West Coast game.
Here's some food for thought as we let you go, Scotty. Play the match after an AFL game. Mm, not necessarily that time, but certainly off the back end. Mm. I know there's logistics with that, but maybe one to consider going forward with the crowd staying on. But again, that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We actually were planning to do that in Adelaide in 2020 before, obviously, the world shut down. We didn't play any footy for a few months, but that was the plan in Adelaide. I think it was a 12:40 AFL game in Adelaide, so we're planning on playing after. And we actually spoke about it as an ops team this morning around, you know, potentially playing after, depending on when it falls. And the reason why we played it then, and I know there was a bit of negativity from, you know, clashing with Freo as well, which we acknowledged. But when we did our plans and set the state game fixture before the West Coast game, we committed to playing before the West Coast game whenever it was. And obviously with a floating fixture, we weren't to know that obviously it was going to clash with Freo. So there's a few things that went against us from that point of view. But overall, outside of, you know, a few point loss, a game that could have gone either way, we think it was a positive outcome.
No, it was a good game of footy, Scotty. Thank you very much for joining us tonight here on Sports Day.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Scott Baker there. And let's get into our injury report now, Skeet. Thanks to SKG Radiology, they care about your welfare and are now bulk billing. And, mate, I can tell you the long-term injuries from round 9 are all about the Jacks. Jack Gunston, Jack Steele, Jack Madgen, all out for lengthy periods of time from Hawthorn, St Kilda and Collingwood, respectively. And then, of course, you go from Jack to a Zach. And Zach Williams, unfortunately, looks like he's going to be out until the back end of the season at the Blues.
Yes, closer to home, the Fremantle Dockers checking on their injury list as it stands. Sam Sutkowski is out of concussion protocols. Michael Walters, by the way, coming out of health and safety protocols later in the week. And good news for their young draftee, Matty Johnson. His ankle injury is just about cleared up. He's a test for this week, so maybe an appearance for him in the WAFL and the AFL not beyond the realms before the end of the season. At the West Coast Eagles, well, where do we start, Carl? We know that Josh Kennedy's not going to play. He's revealed that he's going to miss at least one more week with that knee problem and some issues on that front. Oscar Allen and Campbell Chesser and Tom Cole all gone for a long period of time. But the good news is Andrew Gaff and Shannon Hearn might be on the way back this week.
Wow. Well, that would add a little bit of depth to the West Coast Eagles, but it still sounds like they're going to not have that many running around in the WAFL. Reece Stanley and Sean Higgins at the Cats will have tests on their respective injuries, an ankle and a general soreness for Sean Higgins. He's been generally sore for a little while now. Don't know what he's been up to, but I'll tell you what, it's lingering. Now, we need a clear commitment. Thanks to SKG Radiology, they do care about your welfare and are now bulk billing Medicare rebatable services across all 20 locations. We've got a special guest coming up next. He is a gold medalist, multiple gold medalist for our country when it comes to the pool. And Grant Hackett is going to preview the 2022 Australian Swimming Championships that get underway in Adelaide tomorrow.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day from Repco, and this is who presents our program. From navigating open roads to wrangling uncharted tracks for 100 years, Repco's been driven by passion, and it is fantastic to have this man on the radio who's going to be part of the Prime Video commentary team. He is a three-time Olympian and a gold medalist. His name is Grant Hackett, and he joins us here on Sports Day. Grant, welcome to the show, mate. How are you going?
So, yeah, really well. Thanks for having me on.
Now, a very, very important time, and you've been through this over many years, mate, throughout your swimming career. It is the 2022 Australian Swimming Championships where you get a chance to qualify for bigger and better things, and all the action kicks off tomorrow.
Absolutely. So we've got 5 days of racing, but this trials is particularly important. And coming off the back of an Olympic year, even more so, because you've got a lot of emerging athletes that got very close last year at the Olympic trials, but you'll see them step up again. But at the same time, we've got the Commonwealth Games and the World Championships this year. So, you know, a couple of huge meets on the calendars for our swimmers. And you want to make sure that you're absolutely on fire here to get an opportunity to compete at both.
Grant, when it comes to big names in sport, and of course the combination of Ariane Titnis and Dean Boxall, they created so many headlines, so many magical moments in Tokyo. We're going to see them back collaborating again.
Absolutely. So, I mean, she was phenomenal last year when she went up against Katie Ledecky to win that, you know, the women's 400 metre and the 200 metre freestyle at the Games in Tokyo. And, you know, Dean Boxall, he's just as entertaining as her performance, I think, to watch him on the sidelines. But look, she's just gone from strength to strength. And I think this year, coming off that momentum, the confidence that you build after winning an Olympics. But at the same time, I remember myself coming off the back of an Olympic game, sometimes the pressure is gone and you're back to the love of the sport and you just enjoy doing it. So it'll be interesting to see if she actually performs better or faster than what we saw last year with some of her times, because her in-season times have been very, very good to watch. And yeah, she's been putting herself in a great position coming into these trials.
Now, I'd love to get your thoughts, Grant, on what is going to unfold in the men's 100 butterfly. Highly anticipated. We've got Rio Olympic 100-metre freestyle champion and Tokyo silver medalist in Kyle Chambers. He's had an operation, I believe, on his shoulder. He's going to sit out the 100 freestyle, which is interesting to see how he'll go here. Up against Aussie champion and Tokyo finalist in Matt Temple. And then you've got David Morgan and Cody Simpson, who are hoping to make their first Games team.
It is a fully stacked field on day one, the men's 100-metre butterfly. I mean, Cody Simpson has stolen a lot of headlines over the last couple of years coming back into the sport, but he is a real competitor. Again, some of the times that he's been posting at, you know, the New South Wales State Championships have been as good as what he did at the Olympic trials to make the final last year. You've got Matthew Temple, who's the Australian record holder, a 50.4. He got fifth at the Olympics last year, but also took two bronze medals away from those Olympics. And, of course, Kyle Chalmers, an Olympic champion, himself and going in the 100-metre butterfly. And he's actually the fourth fastest in Australian history in this event. So he's no slouch in this one. So it's going to be a very, very competitive and hotly contested event.
We are chatting to Grant Hackett. Now, Grant, I reckon there's one young lady who might be able to set a world record or at least go close. She isn't a triple Olympic gold medalist already in Kayleigh McEwen. And I reckon, mate, she's on track to try and compete again in another four events, isn't she?
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, the diversity now, she's starting to look like the Michael Phelps of female swimming, looking at their individual medley events. I mean, she's been absolutely flying in all the lead-up meets. She's young. She's got momentum. You know, she's a triple Olympic gold medalist from her very first Olympic Games. I mean, what can't she do? So, you know, she is a definite possibility of being able to achieve something like that at these trials. But Kayleigh McEwen, it's a name that, you know, if you don't know now, you're certainly going to know over the next few years, because she is a phenomenal athlete and continues to go from strength to strength.
When it comes to times at these championships, Grant, are we probably building as opposed to peaking?
Absolutely. So, you know, when you look at your top competitors, they mightn't necessarily be posting the best times that they will for the, you know, entire calendar year, but they're going to be very, very close. This is one of the few meets in our sport. I mean, we're always a training-based sport, so there's few opportunities to compete and swim very, very fast. But trials is one of them. So you do taper, you do shave down, you do make sure you come in and give yourself the best opportunity to do a personal best time or even break a world record. I mean, we saw Ian Thorpe throughout his career, time in, time out again, come to an Australian Championships and a selection trials for a Com Games or for a World Championships and break a world record. So there's nothing holding anyone back. But, of course, if you get a peak throughout the season, you want to be peaking at the Commonwealth Games or at the World Championships in Budapest.
Yeah, what about the women? They're just flying, aren't they, at the moment? But Grant, talk us through what restrictions these swimmers have had going back to Tokyo and in the last 2 years to going to these championships, presumably with the restrictions lifted and back to a sense of normality.
Yeah, it was really interesting coming to the Olympic trials last year, because a lot of people asked me, well, how are these people going to swim? And I'm like, I'm not sure. I haven't seen them swim for almost 18 months. So it was really wide open. And then we saw the phenomenal performances here at this pool in Adelaide at the Olympic trials. And then, of course, you know, one of our best Olympic Games ever or performances from the swim team. So when you look at it this year, you think, well, no one's had any disruptions. They've always had the opportunity to get on a plane, go and compete in their preparation, in their build-up. So there is no reason that this swim team can't continue to improve their times and continue to evolve in their performances because, you know, we're not in a situation now where there's all these lockdowns. And look, a lot of athletes have moved around coaches, so it'll be interesting to see the impact on that post, you know, the Olympic Games to see whether that lifts their performances or not. But certainly we're in an environment now where we should see athletes continue to improve on what they've been able to do and achieve over the last couple of years.
Speaking to Olympic great Grant Hackett on Sports Day, ahead of the Australian Swimming Championships in Adelaide, you've got a sharp eye for young talent coming through, and maybe it's putting you on the spot here, Grant, but we've mentioned some of the big names we know are going around. Is there a young swimmer that you think might just emerge and become a name, will become quite recognisable in the next few months?
Oh, the one I'll pull out for this discussion is a guy named Flynn Southam. So he's a 16-year-old who broke Kyle Chalmers' Australian records, age records, for 16 years old. And we all know that Kyle Chalmers went to the Olympics in 2016 as a 17-year-old and won those Olympic Games. So he was a very, very fast age group swimmer. So Flynn has been managed to do a 50-metre record in 22.5, 100 metres in 48, and a 146 for the 200-metre freestyle. So he's very fit, he's very fast, you know, he's a big, tall, lanky character. So I think that's a name that we should be looking out for. He's going to be, you know, super competitive at these trials. But, you know, in the next couple of years in the lead up to the Paris Olympic Games, I'm sure that's a name that we'll get to know a lot more.
Now, how are you coping with all the ladies around you, Grant? Because the star cast, Jan Rooney, Nicole Livingston, and of course, one of our Paralympic stars, gold medalist, and Annabelle Williams working alongside you, along with Matty White, of course, but he didn't do anything in the pool, did he?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, he tells me he's done a few things here and there, but we've got a great set of talent across the desk, you know, from the commentary team all the way to the hosting team. So, you know, here on Amazon Prime, you'll be able to, you know, jump on the streaming platform and catch all the action live here of the Australian swimming trials that form part of the selection trials for the Com Games and the World Championships this year. So, yeah, get on there and take a look at some of our best athletes in the country.
And briefly, Grant, although you can't jump in the water again and replicate what you did, does this role in commentary, does it fill a bit of a void for you?
It's really funny. I'm actually sitting here on this interview overlooking the pool right now and watching all the swimmers, you know, come in the day before competition, and the amount of stuff that is going through my head of what I'm thinking about at this particular point in time, getting ready for a peak performance, it's quite nostalgic in many ways, but you sort of get back into that mindset. So, look, I just love seeing the sport progress and seeing all the phenomenal athletes that we have in the sport and what they've been able to achieve through a very difficult period with COVID. So, ultra proud just to form part of the sport in a little way now and watch all these athletes, you know, continue to dominate in the sport internationally, coming from such a small country. It's something I'm so proud of.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much for sharing some time with us tonight here on Sports Day.
No worries. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Good on you, Grant Hackett. So it will run from tomorrow all the way through until Sunday. The heats are on first thing in the morning. All of the final sessions will be on, and replays of all the heats and finals will be available as well through Prime Video. And you can also get involved and watch some feature interviews, which will include Kaylee McEwen as she reveals some of her secret injury battles there in Tokyo, Aaron Titmus and Katie Ledecky, what duels they were. And you can learn more about Zach Stubblety-Cook and Shayna Jack opens up about battling some of her dark times. So some really good interviews going to be had there as well. So thanks to Grant Hackett for joining us on Sports Day tonight as we clear a commitment. Thanks to Repco from navigating open roads to wrangling uncharted tracks for 100 years. Repco's been driven by passion, and we'll come back and have a chat to a bloke who is over in the UK at the moment. His name is Jason Berendorf. He will join us next here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Train West, training your future. Speaking of a bloke that's training, he's been over at the IPL for a little while now, Skeet. His name's Jason Berendorf. Have you been able to find any numbers for him by any chance, Skeet?
No, I've been looking hard over the past hour or two, but nothing for Jason Berendorf. And I get the feeling he's just cooling his heels at the moment. We may as well just confirm it once and for all. Jason, thanks for joining us on Sports Day. And what is the progress? What is the state of play for you in the IPL?
G'day, guys. Yeah, you're right. There's no stats, unfortunately, for me at the moment. I've been doing a few other things in the IPL. So I've been mixing some drinks. I've been in the gym, been sitting by the pool, a little bit of training as well. But yeah, so no game time as yet. But hopefully we've got another one game to go. And yeah, depending on selection, we'll see what happens there. But hopefully we can win that one, and then we might be qualifying for the finals, which is always where you want to be.
Well, right now, just looking at the table, it's so tight, isn't it? You've got a game coming up against the Gurjet Titans. That is on Thursday night, but you're sitting in fifth place. You're only a win out of second spot. So it is really closing off as a very tight competition.
Yeah, it certainly is. And most of the time it is over here in the IPL. All the teams are very strong and quality players in all of them. So, yeah, the simple scenario for us is we need to beat Gujarat in our next game, in our final game. And then I think we might even need a couple of other results to go our way. So, yeah, fingers crossed it all goes to plan.
Now, what's it been like rubbing shoulders with the likes of Virat Kohli and Faf du Plessis? Of course, you've got a couple of Aussies in your team as well, Glenn Maxwell and Josh Hazlewood. But the international players, because that's what this tournament is all about, is bringing the very best in the world together.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you're right, we've got some of the world-class superstars in our lineup. Yeah, you mentioned Virat, Faf. We've got Mohammad Siraj as well, Harshal Patel, both experienced bowlers. And then, yeah, you said Maxi and Hoff as well. And David Willey's here, who I'm spending a bit of time with as well on the training paddock and those sort of things. So, yeah, we're very fortunate to have a great group. And it's an inclusive group here at RCB, which is also really important. So, spending a lot of time with the guys in a social setting as well. Most of us will have breakfast together and see each other passing in the gym or in the team room and things like that. So it's been a great environment and lots of fun to be a part of.
Jase, I don't want to sound materialistic, but given you've said off the top that you're not playing matches at the moment, to my understanding, that doesn't affect the financial side of things for you going over to India?
It's all, from my understanding now, it's all dependent on the franchise. So the way the contracts are written and things like that. But yeah, fortunately here at RCB, they've generally been, I think they've been very good at looking after their players and staff. So yeah, hopefully it doesn't affect it too much.
And thinking more close to home with what WA achieved, and you were part of some great success with them, the new contracts have just come out on that front. And we saw Sean Marsh decide to go around again. It's a little bit dated now in that sense, but we haven't heard from the great man himself, and you're one of his teammates who knows him reasonably well. Was that a surprise, or were you expecting him after winning the Shield to go around again?
Yeah, well, Sean signed on for, what is it, about his 40th Sheffield Shield season, so he's going pretty well. No, but it's very exciting for WA cricket that Sean's keen to keep going, because I think, to be honest, over the last couple of years, his form has been outstanding. And something, if Sean's still keen to play and the way he's been playing, there's no reason why he can't. So it's, I was not surprised that he kept going, but also it could have potentially been an absolute perfect time for him to retire if he was going to go that way. So, but I know how much he's enjoyed the Shield win. That's meant a lot to him and a lot to WA cricket in general. So, yeah, with the success we had this year, it's also, like I said, it's not really a surprise that he wanted to play on, because we've got such a great group, and yeah, hopefully we can have some more continued success next year as well.
Now, Jason Behrendorf is who we're talking to. If you've just joined us here on Sports Day, playing for the Royal Challengers Bangalore, that's where he is at the moment over there in India. Jase, you have, of course, had your contract extended too. Now, is it going to be a focus still on short-form cricket for you?
At this stage, yes. And that's something that I guess we've spoken at length about. I've spoken about with the management in WA cricket, and that's been the plan post-surgery, and with the ultimate goal hopefully to get back to playing some four-day cricket. And I guess over the past couple of years in particular, it's been a very white ball focus to get me back up and running, which has worked really successfully. So hopefully some talks about red ball cricket might not be too far around the corner, but also it's a timing thing depending on competitions and other selections in terms of international duties and stuff as well. So there's always a few things go into the mixing pot and make some decisions on those as well.
Now, how has the environment been over there in India, mate? Because obviously they were one of the hardest countries hit by COVID, given the number of people. And we saw some really disturbing images coming out of the country. But I was looking at your birthday celebrations back in April, just a month ago, April 21, where you were sharing some birthday cake. And I'll tell you what, there didn't look like there was too many COVID protocols going on there.
No, so we're very fortunate here that we're in quite a tight bubble again. So I say fortunate in the fact that I don't think the bubble life is one that too many guys are enjoying on the whole, but it's certainly keeping us safe, which is obviously paramount. And so within the confines of our hotel, apart from when we go to training or the games, and so within that bubble, we're all very much protected. We're able to sort of roam freely in our areas of the hotel, which is nice. And yeah, those celebrations that you saw are something that's quite a tradition over here in the IPL. Usually you just get to eat and enjoy your cake and maybe blow out the candles. But yeah, something that they've taken on is smashing it in your face and rubbing it all through your hair and putting it in your ear. It's always hard to get out.
Jace, there have been some celebrations, and rightfully so, but it's also been a somber time for Australian cricket and world cricket. And I've noticed a tribute to the late Shane Warne has already taken place at the IPL, and I'm sure the cricket fraternity, again, is in shock and really saddened by the passing of Andrew Symonds.
It certainly is, mate. It's incredibly sad and something that I don't think, obviously no one saw coming, but it's something that's really hard to come to grips with as well. Have a few Aussies here within our group, and I know it's hit them hard as well. And chatting to a few of the guys back home, it's an absolute tragedy, and something that, yeah, even now talking about it, I haven't really spoken about it too much, but it's a really hard thing, mate. And Roy was so loved, not just within Australian cricket, but throughout the world. And I've even seen some tributes from different IPL franchises as well over here, just across their social media platforms and things like that. So it's, again, his reach was worldwide in the game. And he was such a character and one that was definitely most loved, that's for sure.
Jace, thank you very much for sharing some time with us here on Sports Day, mate. Take care, and let's hope that you can get a game in the next couple of games, because you might well end up in a final if you do.
Yeah, exactly right. Thanks, boys.
Good on you. Jason Behrendorf here on Sports Day. Great to have a chat to him. Thanks to Train West, Perth's leading registered training organisation specialising in training and safety services. You can visit trainwest.com.au. As we clear a commitment on the other side, we're going to have a chat to Johnny Slavich. We've also got a youngster by the name of Callum Alberti, a 13-year-old who did some great things. Johnny Slavich will tell us what he did, and then we'll have a yak to him next here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-electric Kia EV6. Wheels Car of the Year. And Toolkit Depot. The ultimate range of top brand tools, equipment and workwear. Toolkitdepot.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Green to Green's Barrandoe Day, because little things are everything. And our man is John Slavich, who joined us. Welcome, John.
G'day, guys. Thanks for having us.
Now, where do you want to start? With the men's and ladies champion of champions?
Yep, sounds great. Good one to kick off there. Champion of Champions is a great competition, which is all the men's and ladies singles winners from all their respected clubs. They all get in and obviously battle out to see who is the best of the best. And first, we'll just go into the men's. And it was great to see that the country was very well represented in the semi-finals, with Hopetown, Wagen and Emu Point getting through there. So John Goddard from Hopetown against Warren Holt at Wagen. Warren too good for Johnny, 25-21. And from Emu Point, Matthew Mitchell was too strong for Dave Rankin, getting through there on 25-19. So it was a all-country final, Wagen versus Emu Point, and it was Matty Mitchell picking up his very first Champion of Champions title, 25-22 against Warren. So great job there done by Matty. And into the ladies, Kathy Gobbett from Gingin defeated Lara Mertz, 25-21. And Coral Thorne, unfortunately, couldn't quite get her act together against Lisa Smith. And in the final, which was a great contest, the ever hard Kathleen Gobbett from Gingin, she's one of our greatest ex-WA bowlers, was too good for Lisa and ran away with a 25-17 shot victory.
And looking ahead to this weekend, we've got the Masters singles, John.
Yep, it's starting up at the Mount Lawley Bowling Club. First lot of games will be played on Friday afternoon through to Friday evening. And then the continuation of that will be for the sections 11-18 through to the Saturday. The Masters singles will then conclude on the Sunday. So if you wanted to get down and see some great bowls over the 3 days, Mount Lawley Bowling Club will be the place to get see and to see hopefully who will be crowned the new Masters singles champion.
Yeah, might just wander down from home and have a pony and watch the Masters singles for an hour or so. Sounds good, Johnny. What else is coming up?
Yeah, look, Sorrento Bowling Club got a big one there on Saturday the 21st. They got about $6,000 in prize money. I believe it's $1,000 each for the winners. So it's a lot of big money there. They are still chasing some teams. So if you want to get in contact with Sorrento Bowling Club, that would be awesome. And also this one here from the Northern Territory. They actually got their carnival starting up on the 4th to the 28th of July. So if anyone would like to get onto Bowls WA or the Northern Territory websites, so be able to pick up a few big events up there, a lot of prize money, and I know a lot of West Aussies get up there and have a crack at it.
Now, what about the BPL Cup, which is now open for entry? This looks like a pretty good little competition to get involved with, and I see that there's a round going to be held at Double View Bowling Club on June 5.
Yeah, look, it's a great lead up to the BPL, which is obviously televised on Foxtel, but it gives an opportunity for all clubs to get in there and represent their state or territory, and will be coinciding with the BPL 16 at the Club Pine Rivers Bowling Club, which is in Queensland. It's a slightly different format from when the big boys play, but look, still exciting atmosphere. I could absolutely highly recommend if anyone could get themselves a BPL Cup team and get over there and hopefully support the Perth Suns while you're there.
All the entry details are at bowlswa.com.au. The other events that Johnny has spoken about are also posted there. So go to bowlswa.com.au if you'd like to follow through on any of that listeners tonight. Johnny, we did talk to you a couple of weeks ago and you told us about this young 13-year-old, Callum Alberti. Now, he's online about to have a yak to us. Can you just remind our audience what this young bloke actually did?
Yeah, Callum is an absolute champion, going to be one of the best in WA, I reckon. He managed to take out the singles and the pairs of the state juniors championships, and I'm pretty sure he'll be one of the event winners in the Australian Championships, which will be coming up, I think, in October. So he's managed to take out two of the big matches, and hopefully he continues that way.
Now, when you say juniors, that's under-18s, right? And he's only 13 years of age?
Yeah, he's got a few years left in him. He's going good. He still only knows Coke and Fanta. So he's going to be half a chance for a few more years.
Yeah, unlike you, Johnny. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. We appreciate your time.
No worries. And, Screet, hopefully see you Friday night at Mount Lawley.
Sounds good, Johnny.
All right, good on you, John Slavich there. Good on you, mate. So take care as we head to Callum Alberti, who is online listening to us. Welcome, Callum. Congratulations. How are you going, mate?
Good.
Absolutely our pleasure, mate. Now, just tell us, at 13 years of age, when did you start bowling, mate, and how have you got so good?
I started when I was about 5 years old, just being around the bowling club. My granddad played, my dad's played for about 15 years. And then a couple of years ago, my mum and my grandma started playing. So I've always just been in and around the bowling club. And I got my first set of bowls on my 9th birthday. So, and I played 2.5 years of men's pennants.
Wow. So what do your mates think about you and your achievements on the green?
My mates kind of tease me about it, but it doesn't really bother me because hopefully I can achieve more things in the sport and be almost a legend of the game.
Wow, that's exciting. And at the age of 13, I know you've got a lot of development and you'll improve as you get older. How far do you want to take this? Representing Australia, I'm guessing, at some stage?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully Commonwealth Games. I'm pretty sure they're talking about the Olympics in 2032 in Brisbane, maybe being one of the local sports. And obviously the BPL is on next week, the Brisbane Premier League. The Perth Suns are playing. And hopefully play for them as well. And yeah, that's going to be live on Foxtel next week.
Yeah, mate, well and truly aware, and obviously we're right behind our Perth Suns here on Sports Day, and obviously we will be certainly following everyone's fortunes between now and 2032, where you will add another 10 years to your life. So at 13, that means you'd be essentially 23 by the time we get to 2032. But beating these, I want to know what beating these other 17-year-olds, because I believe that you had to roll a few 17-year-olds. What were these older blokes talking about after they you know, got rolled by a young 13-year-old who showed them up?
They weren't very happy. No. Put it that way.
No. And so from a singles and a pairs perspective, Callum, who did you play with when it comes to the pairs?
I played with the guy I beat in the singles final, Segan Pasulich.
Yeah.
My good mate from Aussie Park.
All right. And so is that your club, Aussie Park? Is that where you normally strut your stuff?
No, I play for South Perth Bowling Club.
Okay. So South Perth Bowling Club. And are you actually playing in the South Perth A-grade pennants team yet? Or what position are you actually in the club at the moment?
I'm playing in the division below the A grade, but hopefully I might get my chance this year. I'd love to get a chance this year in the top grade.
Absolutely, mate. Well, keep up the good work, and thank you very, very much for having a quick chat to us tonight here on Sports Day. And keep your head down, working hard, mate, and I'm sure you'll live out your dreams. Thanks for your time, Callum.
Thank you.
Good on you. Callum Alberti there. You can hear that he's young and raw, Skeet, but looking forward to seeing how he goes.
Yeah, very modest targets. Just wants to become a legend of the sport, which got to love that ambition and drive and purpose. And he's a well-spoken young man. He knows when it's on Fox. He knows what's happening in the game. And I'll tell you what, he's got his head on his shoulders.
Yeah, he'll have a couple of sponsors pretty quickly, I'd suggest, on the back of that interview for Green to Green and Barron A Day. Don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything. We need to clear a commitment on the other side. I'll come back and wrap up the rest of the day's sport next.